Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
On today's show, we'll recommend an EV for a lady who prefers a 2013 Nissan Leaf over a Tesla Model Y, a viewer looking for long range and a low price, and a viewer looking for a fast charging deal. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 41. I'm Dominic Chione, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. If you're looking for your own bespoke battery bargain recommendation, send us a one-minute video or an email with a couple short paragraphs describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case today. And to be transparent, we've edited or paraphrased these emails for length and clarity. You ready to go car shopping, Kyle?
Here or we go.
Kyle? Martin?
Absolutely.
Who are you even? All right. So our first email comes to us from Curtis, and he writes, "Hello, Battery Bargains team. Last year, we sold my wife's ICE vehicle and became a fully electric family. The plan was for her to drive the Tesla Model Y rear-wheel drive we bought, but she didn't like it as much as I'd hoped and asked if she could drive our old 2013 Nissan Leaf. Now, I want to replace the Leaf and get my wife something she'll actually like driving. So we are looking to take advantage of the used EV tax credit and get a nice car that has already depreciated, but not another Tesla. She wants something with a higher seating position and a less tech-heavy experience. She'll charge at home and will use the Model Y for road trips, so range and charging don't have to be great, but she wants more range than the around 65 miles she gets on the Leaf. I'm trying to decide between an older 2019 Audi e-tron with more miles, a not-so-old Volvo XC40 Recharge, or a newish Nissan Ariya. We are eligible for the credit this year and might be eligible next year, so 2023 model year cars are possible, but we likely won't be eligible after that. I want to get something really nice that my wife will love driving for a while. Which of these options would you recommend? Am I missing another good option? Thanks, Curtis." Well, I don't know. Should I tackle this?
Yeah, please do. Dive in.
All right. So to get an Audi e-tron competitive in price with the other options, of course, we have to look at cars with a good number of miles on them. So right now, what I've got here is probably as good as it gets for Audi e-trons. I dug up let's see if I pop this on the screen really, really quick. And so I dug up this Audi e-tron on cars.com. Boom.
Let's right there. Look.
It's a 2019 Audi e-tron Premium Plus, 58,288 miles. So it's been around the block a couple times, but the price is like $24,995. And obviously, they haven't. A lot of these listings, you have to be careful that they've already taken off the incentive. But this obviously, it would be if the incentive was off, it would be $21,000. So this is basically a $21,000 car with 58,000 mile or 58,200 miles on it. Good morning, y'all. So I don't know. That's a fair amount of miles in the Audi e-tron. I'm a little iffy on that. So let's move right along and see what else we have. So the Volvo XC40 is more affordable, and we can find vehicles at a similar price points that are newer and with less miles. The best I could find was a 2021 with just over 35,000 miles. I guess I should have these on my screen to begin with, and then right. So here we're looking at a 2021 Volvo XC40 Recharge Pure Electric P8, to call it by its full name. It's got 35,122 miles on it. So I think that's a decent number of miles. It's, you know, not crazy high, but it's definitely enough miles to bring you down into this 23,798. That's like a great deal. And when you take the $4,000 credit, we're looking at, what, 19,798? Is that the math?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So I kind of like this better. You know, everyone has their own, you know, idea of what kind of car they enjoy driving. And the Audi is really nice. It's like a tank. It's very solid. But this is, I think, has a more of a driver's sporty feel to it slightly. And I like, of course, the Volvo design language. And like a $19,000 car with $35,000, that's a really great deal right there, I think. It's not a great range, but neither is the Audi e-tron. But moving on, I think the Aria might be their best choice, though, after all that. The client drives a Leaf now, so like front-wheel drive is not like an issue at all. Mm. Just close these ones down here. We'll pop this up on the screen. So you have to go with the smaller pack, I think, with the Aria to find something around under 25,000 that qualifies for the tax credit. But that's still over 200 EPA miles, and that's not far off the ranges of the other ones as well. So I saw a number of super low mile cars online here, and this one might be the best deal out there right at this moment. It's a 2023, so you have to wait until the new year because you can't. The car has to be 2 years old before you can take advantage of the $4,000 used car tax credit for EVs. So, you'd have to wait until the new year for this one. It's 23, so it's a brand new. It's got all kinds of warranty on it. So that's really great. And the mileage is super low, 4,356 miles. So it's like, it's a brand new car, basically. It's been around the block. It hasn't been all the way around the block yet. And that price, under 25,000, like I was really kind of shocked when I was looking at this last night. I can't believe like you can get a Nissan Aria, even as, like it's the engaged spec, which is, you know, not a ton of content, but you know, it's decent enough. Right, 200 miles of range, front wheel drive. What is the range on it actually? Yeah, 205 miles. So for that money, $21,372 miles, you know, $21,000. I think that's, and like warranty and all that kind of stuff. I think that's the direction I would go. What do you think, Martin?
What's your favorite out of those?
If everything, all things being equal, you know, I think I would enjoy like the 2024 XC40. I can't remember if it's the XC40 like the Polestar 2, if it went rear-wheel drive or was it already rear-wheel drive? I think it might have been already rear-wheel drive. I don't know. It's a difficult choice. I think I would lean e-tron, but it's, you know, it's a much more expensive car. So I would go e-tron probably. If all things being equal,
you know, take them for drives and see what you like. I'd love to know why his wife didn't like the Model Y, because it's a great, Model Y is great. Now, we had a Model Y early. When I say early Model Y, I mean early out of China Model Y, and I think they're put together really well. But my wife hated it, so we had it for a period of time. She just felt, my wife felt about the Model Y. And again, Elon always says, don't buy early runs of cars. But this was coming out of Shanghai. I thought it was well put together. But for what it cost, and then the feeling that she got inside of it, because she doesn't value a lot of the, you know, the high tech and the constant OTA updates and the supercharger network, she was going on feel and she likes a few more buttons around. She doesn't want to have to dive into a screen to do everything. And she's not anti-tech. But yeah, Tycon is definitely depreciating in price. We'll all have one in the way Tycons are going. She couldn't put a finger on it. But again, it was just that the ride was far too harsh for a start in the Model Y. And she associated a comfortable ride in a vehicle that big with a premium feel. So when it was bouncing you around, she doesn't think what some people would think, like, oh, sporty, tight, you know. She thinks, right, well, this is cheap. Like, this drives like, you know, my little Renault Zoe. So, and we love our Zoes. I had two Zoes. Three? Anyway, so we love our Renault Zoes back in the day. And so she felt, I'd love to know why Curtis's wife didn't like the Model Y, because Model Y is a great choice that we recommend all the time.
Yeah, I feel weird in it too. You know, I sit in the Model Y. I haven't actually driven the Model Y for some reason. I've been in it a number of times, but when I like sitting in the passenger seat in the front side, I don't know, there's something I don't like about it. And that
was my wife's take. She was like, "Where's the?"
And I like the three. Yeah, I love the three. Like, you know,
She likes the Model 3 actually, but there's something about the Y. She felt the Y when she drove in it should feel more pretty. There just wasn't enough stuff around her. She's like, it's just a screen, and it's what, 50 grand. And I was, you know, I didn't want to argue, but I was like, well, you know, this is meant to be a very nice car, and I like the Model Y, and it comes with a rear parcel shelf now as well. So they fixed that bit. Equally, I think the best choice for this particular gentleman, drive them all. If you are cross-shopping, I mean, they are quite different vehicles, actually, the e-tron and the XC40, or the C40, have a look at that, or a Nissan Ariya. Have a little play around with all of them. But I would, at this stage, if you got the option of getting quite a new electric vehicle that might be a little bit less premium, a little bit smaller, like the XC40 is smaller, versus a big old tank like the e-tron, which isn't that big, to be honest with you, that's almost 6 years old now, an early e-tron, I would, not just on warranty and stuff like that, I would lean towards a slightly newer car. And that's not to say they're unreliable. They're absolutely not. I don't hear horror stories about the e-tron. Obviously, you know,
There's one thing. I think there's like a motor issue. There's something that leaks in some of them and shorts out the motor, or something Kyle's mentioned a few times. I don't know how... I mean, it's like luck of the draw kind of thing, you know. Probably it's going to be fine, I feel like, you know.
Compare it to something like the Jaguar I-Pace that's had recall after recall recall, and it's like, I wouldn't touch an I-Pace. I know that
I can't recommend an I-Pace, really.
What do we have, an HSE? We had an HSE for a period of time, and it came straight from Austria, and it's box fresh. It smelled amazing. Would I spend my own money on an old I-Pace? No, not at all. I'm really worried about them. And they were put together really well. That just had too many recalls. I wouldn't recommend them to somebody. So, no, I'd go with the Volvo, because we had the news this week that was really welcome, that the new infotainment system that's rolling out in the EX90 and the latest, greatest Volvo infotainment is going to go out to 2.5 million of the fleet of all the Volvos and that have been out since 2020. It's not going to be, hey, you know, pay to play, and it's going to make subscription, and we're forgetting about the installed driver base. And they're going to keep those vehicles current. And that was a huge, huge nod for me when I heard Volvo were going to do that. It's going to affect a load of people getting all the new interface and all the latest dev time as well. So really good. I'd go with the XC40, but have a drive. I think it's a really nice size vehicle as well.
See, right. The commenter seemed to be leaning XC40 a little bit. Laurie would say, not the Ariya. Volvo would be the better choice. Michael Klutz says the only flaw of the 2024 Model Y is the refresh is promised to be around the corner, and there is no HUD unless you install custom mods. KV says the XC40 is the coolest of them, but the Ariya at that price is a great deal. See, that's what I was thinking too. We're on the same wavelength here. And AJ Robertson mentions that the 2024 XC40 comes in dual motor and single rear motor. Right. They were in, where are they? Did they say where they were at?
Doesn't sound like all-wheel drive. A lot of time the letters that which we receive say, I must have all-wheel drive. And if it doesn't, we just presume it's okay to have anything, really. Like, we don't need all-wheel drive here.
Right. So I guess, I don't know, we should move on to the next one,
Let's move on.
All right. So our next email comes to us from Luke, and he says, "Hey, BIP guys, I got a ride in my boss's Tesla Model 3 a couple weeks ago and want to try to go electric myself. Trouble is, I'm not rich or anything, so I need something used. Probably not a Tesla because I hear insurance is crazy high on those. I drive a good amount, about 60 miles to work and back, and then sometimes even more on the weekends. Live in snow country, so I'd want all-wheel drive. I should be able to charge at home. Don't need anything fancy. Just want to save the money on gas and repairs, so reliability is important. Don't really care if it's a regular car or an SUV. Just needs to have good range. So what's out there that's reliable that I can pick up for around $15,000? Thanks for your help, Luke." Well, 15 grand, that's a tight budget. I don't know. Do you want to take a shot at that?
Yeah, I mean, I would stretch it a little bit if you possibly can, and maybe go 17 grand and have a look at an ID4 Pro S, all-wheel drive ID4s, which I think there's been some negativity around those because the ID4 was perhaps less capable or in some ways in its peers at the time when it was a new 41 grand car, 45 grand car for the top spec in the US. It probably wasn't, if you put it head-to-head on a spec sheet up against a, you know, a Tesla Model Y, didn't necessarily get all the praise that it deserved. But the Model Y is a really competent vehicle. It's an all-wheel drive trim in the US. Not quite 15 grand yet. And you will be getting higher mileage. You will be getting a few miles on that vehicle. But you absolutely can one get one for around that price if you can be a bit flexible. And I think for that, you get the range, you get the all-wheel drive, and you say you want reliability and you want to have that confidence in an EV. And that's where I would go with Volkswagen, because Volkswagen of North America are not going anywhere. They're always going to be support there to support you if the vehicle does have an issue, or at least you can get support and go to plenty of places if the vehicle has an issue. And I don't think, although I don't know your circumstances and I haven't run quotes on your circumstances, but I think you'll find the insurance on an ID4 is perhaps lower than Tesla. And Tesla owners, I find, tend to get stung a little bit by the insurance companies. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's based on fixing those vehicles or maintenance, I'm not sure, but I'd love to look into that one day. Tesla owners just seem to pay more for insurance companies, perhaps target them for whatever reason. People have theories. So yeah, I'd look at that. What do you reckon then, Dom?
Well, first of all, who is this? Somebody keeps mentioning, Buddy. Yes, Buddy is like determined that we recommend a Taycan today. He says, again, a Taycan, the answer for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a 15 grand Taycans, they're everywhere. I mean, well, it won't be long. Let's face it, if they carry on going the way they're going.
He forced me to go take a look. So, right. And I was like, actually kind of shocked. So look at this deal. Let me take that comment down. $52,000, so 53 grand basically, a 2021 Porsche Taycan base with only like 16,500 miles on it. That's actually kind of a good deal. I imagine insurance would be high and all that kind of stuff. So definitely not, you know, definitely not the car for our current case here. But
yeah,
I just wanted to share that just because, put things in perspective of where we're at in like Taycan land. Still a bit high. So I couldn't find any all-wheel drive cars for 15 grand, including Teslas. I mean, it's pretty slim pickings out there. I found a Tesla Model 3 dual motor, but the listed price didn't mention, you know, a $2,000 down payment that showed up on the dealer's actual site. So I say go with a single motor and get good snow tires. So I did find some super affordable BMW i3s. But those are mostly 100 mile range cars, basically. So let me just pop one up here on the screen. Right. So I did find this one for under $15,000, and it's a 2019 model. So that year they got the bigger battery, so it has 153 miles of range, which is not the best, of course, compared to other things that are out there. But it's plenty to cover the commute, and it's a fun rear-wheel drive car. This one has like almost 40,000 miles on it. So that's, I don't know. I'm not really sold on that's the best solution, but you know, that's just one of the options in that kind of category. I had really hoped to find a Hyundai Kona EV in the budget, but I could only find one that was It was above by $800. In its favor, it's a 2021 model and only 26. Oh, I just pulled that up and it's no longer listed. Oh, look at that.
This is how good you are at finding a battery bargain. By the time we come to do the show, it's gone. So,
right.
And we're doing it live today as well. So, you know, you just
found
it. Oh, yeah,
we're live. Yeah. Yeah, this, and I it was probably late at night when I found this. So, wow. But that Hyundai Kona was a decent deal. It was 25,000 miles on, 26,000 miles on it, $15,800. So the only other decent option out there is the Chevy Bolt EV. And right now, only the first gen cars are in this budget of $15,000. So the second gen cars, I forget what year they came out. Are those 2021s?
Oh, I don't know the year. Yeah, it's around that time.
Yeah, let me just. I'm having trouble. Okay, there's trouble finding something that's coming up on the screen here. All right. So there's like a lot of different options out there. You stick with the first gen Chevy Bolt EV, and there's a ton of options. There's a lot of them out there in that ballpark. So that's really, you can kind of take your pick what you want, you know, how close to the top of your budget you want to get, but have more miles, or go down, you know, save some cash and just have something with more miles on it. Did I get that right? Fewer miles and more money, the few miles it is. So let's see if I can pull this up. Oh, that one's no longer listed. Well, look at that. Okay, well, that, what was that? Anyway, here's one that I did find. Man, having troubles today. A used 2017. So it's a little bit older. It's a Chevrolet Bolt LT. So it's not, there's not a whole lot of features. We're talking pretty bare bones here. But the price is in your budget, and it's $14,000, and that's after the $4,000 used car credit. Like, when you start looking on these sites, pretty much all of them have the $4,000. If they're eligible for it, they take it off the price in the used department for sure. So this is actually, they're probably on the lot, might have a sticker that's, you know, $4,000, so $17,999, $13,999 after your deal, so you're $1,000 under your budget, but it's like only 8,796 miles. It's like not a brand new car, but pretty, you know, pretty good. Even though it's like an older year and everything, and so it won't have the warranty and all that kind of stuff on it. But it shouldn't need it at that low of mileage. So I would just recommend to them going to a car site like Car Gurus or Cars.com and just finding the one that strikes a balance between, you know, the model year, mileage, and price, and, you know, other things like if you like color or you want a certain trim, I'd, you know, have at it, take a look, because there's a plenty out there in that range. So, what you got for Martin? Oh, you already did, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I think that's some good suggestions there, actually.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I like those.
Just trying to see if we have anything in the comments here. Do we have Jaguar I-Pace? Oh, Michael here paid $15,000 for his i3. Can't imagine all-wheel drive with good range for that budget. Right, yeah, it's pretty hard to get. Not too much farther, you know. You go up at like $18,000, $19,000, they start to pour in, you know, well as like the other decent front-wheel drive vehicles like the Hyundai Kona or the Kia e-Niro. Those are all up in there, and there's a bunch in like just a slightly higher budgets.
Right,
and Michael also asked, do you have the Jaguar I-Pace in North America? They were all-wheel drive and should have silly price these days as out of production. Yes, but again, a little hard to recommend just because of reliability. Just, I don't know. I think people would really need to have like a good idea that it might not be the most reliable vehicle, and they need to be near
just a
dealer.
If you can find a good third-party warranty that really did cover you for everything in terms of EV,
sure,
then that would put your mind at rest.
Right. EV Life says, I'm still surprised that Kia EV6 and Hyundai Ioniq 5 not recommended much. We do talk about those cars quite a bit, generally.
Yeah.
Let's see what this next email has in it. So our final email comes to us from Robert, And he says, "Dear Battery Bargains team, an avid listener from Ohio, I truly enjoy your podcast and the insightful discussions you have about electric vehicles. I'm currently in the market for a long-range electric vehicle that offers the best value. While I'm interested in the latest technology, 800 volts, NACS connector, etc., I'm concerned about spending more money just to have the newest toys. My primary need is to transport myself to work, 50 miles each way, man, that's a commute, and for a weekend run around my fiance, with his fiance, I guess. We take 3 to 6 road trips a year, up to 500 miles, annual mileage, $10,000 to $12,000 miles. So I guess he doesn't go to work every day.
Yeah, can't be a daily commute if that works out that way.
Yeah, because that's a long commute. So, and who wants to drive that far to go to work every day?
Every day.
Oh my God. I'm not overly concerned about charging speed, although I feel like I should have it. I do want to ensure I get a good value for my investment and best range possible. I've been considering models like the Hyundai IONIQ 5 or 6 because of their fast charging, or the Model 3 for the OTA updates. That's a Tesla Model 3. But then again, my head says I can get a better deal. I'm not sure you can get a much better deal than that, actually, at least looking at new cars. I would appreciate any recommendations you might have for a vehicle that balances range, value, and practicality. Best regards, Robert." Well, so he mentions Hyundai IONIQ 5 and 6, right? Was that?
Yeah, both so, nice cars, both great cars.
So it doesn't seem to be too concerned whether it's an SUV or a sedan. So taking a look here, I found the Hyundai, I think this is used one. Let me just pull this up on the screen real quick. It is a 2022 Hyundai IONIQ 5 SE, 19,073 miles, $24,499.
That's a good deal.
I don't know, right? So just a real quick looking down. It says it has a 77 kilowatt hour battery. So that's the big battery, right?
Yep.
And it's probably, rear-wheel drive. So they didn't mention all-wheel drive in their letter. So rural drive, that's a 21,005 car. That's kind of a hard deal to beat, really. 20,000 miles, if you can deal with like a car with 19,000 miles on it, I think that's not crazy. It's not fresh, but there might be a hint of new car smell in there. I don't know.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's a 2022, so it hasn't really aged. I mean, there's not like a big time difference at all.
Yeah.
Man, they've put a fair amount of miles on that, though, in the year.
Not massively so. I mean, it's a big battery, it's rear-wheel drive, and Jeremy paid a lot more for his 22, and pointing out that rear-wheel drive doesn't have battery preconditioning, pointing out it's a pretty hard deal to beat.
Right. But we should take a look at the Audi, the six. Okay, so I don't think I could find, that was really the best deal on the IONIQ 5s I could find. I couldn't really find a used IONIQ 6 that was quite that great a deal.
Yeah, there's not as many around for the 6 yet. It's still a very sought after vehicle. I don't see as many of them on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the 6 doesn't have the sales of the 5 here. Like people really like the 5. It's really doing pretty well. The 6, not so much. There's new design coming out for next year. I think that people are going to enjoy. Was that a refresh look?
Yeah, there's a new front end coming out on the 6, mid-cycle refresh of the 6 coming out.
There's also the IONIQ 6N. That's what it is. It's kind of got me going a little bit. I'm a little bit excited about that. That's going to be a different kind of segment, a little bit more of a high-performance vehicle. This just needs a commuter, really, and a good value. Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. No fancy things here. This is like a brand new one, I believe. And it's probably got the $7,500 credit taken off of it already.
It would have done. And I don't feel like this is great value. I mean, obviously, Robert here is all about, he's a value man. He wants to get the best deal. I'm not sure this is the best deal that's out there. It's a great car. Okay. I'd love it, personally.
305-mile range, just rural drive. So, 32 you know, it's not bad. But if we, I guess the real competitors, that would be like the Tesla Model 3.
Yeah.
I feel like, so I can pop that button. Oops. Pop.
Yeah, no, you go. Go for it.
That on the screen.
Look, it's really hard to go past a Model 3. It's really hard to go past a 3.
Right. Yeah, because it's long range. We stick with a rear-wheel drive, 42,490. And then you take the $7,500 tax credit off, it's 35. So it's a bit above that Ioniq 6, actually. But I got to say, I really like the interior of the new Model 3, the refresh. I personally like it more than the Ioniq 6 interior. That's a very subjective point of view, of course. Lots of people prefer the Ioniq 6 over the Tesla Model 3. Yeah. Model 3 just has that one center screen, so if that's like off-putting to you, the Ioniq 6 is just a more conventional vehicle.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I still have a hard time. I would still lean that 21,000 Hyundai Ioniq 5 is such a great deal. I would put up with the mileage on it. Just
as long as you can take another $4,000 off that price, as long as they're not advertising it. And they shouldn't advertise it because a lot of people might not qualify for the used vehicle tax credit. So that should be a price that you can take four and a half off.
Yeah, yeah, it has to be, because if it was higher, then it wouldn't be eligible.
Exactly. Because the limit. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. So that's a stellar deal. And a big 3-meter wheelbase. A great vehicle.
Michael reminds us that the end does not belong to battery drivers.
Yeah, we're not about... That's for the Friday show. All right, we'll talk about the end on Friday. This is about value. We're getting this in the battery bargains going on here.
Every once in a while, though, we do get people looking for like a performance vehicle or, you know, something that, you know, is exciting to drive. And, you know, the Hyundai Ioniq 5N, from all reports, I haven't driven it myself, but from all reports, that is a blast to drive. Probably the most fun of any, you know, just like hoonigan kind of fun. I think it'd probably even be as fun or more than the Porsche Taycan, really. Yeah, I mean, it's like half the price. It's a great value, about as quick as quicker than some of the trims of the Taycan, and with that, the faking the sound and the gear shifts. I don't know. I think people would have a blast with that, and you can light up the tires. Anyway, I digress. So, do you have any more suggestions for our friend Robert here?
You know what? I'm gonna recommend a vehicle which we don't always... it's been in the comments already today, actually, earlier on in the program, and that is the Hyundai Kona Electric. It comes in two guises, or maybe three, actually, because the first one had a little facelift, which is the one we owned, and I had that for 12 months, really liked it. Then there's the new one. For the long-range version, 65.4 kilowatt-hour battery is a bit bigger. So if you're going to go new, Robert, then EPA range 261. I think 261 EPA we can call a long-range EV, which is one. They do a smaller battery as well. But I think 260 miles EPA we can say is you want a long-range EV. In the summer, I'd get in mine and it would read 320 or 325 on the dash if I'd been driving around town doing recent miles and it was warm. And it would get more than that as well. The Kona does something with witchcraft, I'm sure, because it's such an efficient vehicle. Ioniq 5, a lot less efficient, even though it's a custom-built platform. Much bigger vehicle, though. Much bigger vehicle. But... the first gen Kona out there, 2018, was good, and you'll get an amazing price on that. 24 model year was when it got the refresh, kind of second gen or maybe third gen, depending on how you look at it. But that was designed as more of an EV, whereas the first one was always designed on a platform that had hybrid and combustion as well, which kept the price down. Of course, this new gen Kona is bigger. It's significantly longer and wider and taller. And about
it's like the Kia Niro now, right? They're kind of the same size.
Yeah, exactly. Niro also a fantastic deal. So yeah, it's got a slightly bigger battery now. It goes from 64 to 65.4. Significantly, I was never frustrated with the charging, but it was always good enough. That's got better. 75 kilowatt, 78 kilowatt peak goes to about 102, 103 kilowatts peak on the new Kona. The new displays inside look just like an Ioniq 5. It's the same look inside as the Ioniq 5. And as you say, this is a really important discussion to have around buying used EVs. And that's that you don't let idiots like us, and particularly on the Friday podcast, when, you know, we'll have Tom and Kyle on the show as well, and, you know, we'll talk about, well, you know, this EV charged 2 minutes quicker on this certain charger, and it's 800 volt, and this one peaked at 200, this one peaked at 192. You know, don't let that get in the way, and don't feel that you need the latest, greatest toys when you're buying an EV, because the real value out there is buying an EV that's fit for purpose. The real value is maybe even an EV that other people are overlooking because they want the toys, they want the Tesla experience, they want the 800 volt system, which, sure, will charge in optimal conditions 18 minutes, but maybe the Kona is going to take you 25 minutes to add the same amount of miles because it goes further if you don't need the space of the Ioniq 5 because it's more efficient. So how long are you stopping and how many miles are you adding, not just the kilowatts? And of course, that's if you're charging fewer kilowatt hours, then you're saving money as well. Have a look. There's an important thing you need to know, though. Hyundai don't get the $7,500 federal tax credit, but they do match it. So if you're going to go buy a new one, then you effectively get the federal tax credit. If you're buying a used one, then have a look at those prices under 25, and that's where you get some insane value because you get the used vehicle tax credit in there as well. Of course, you can lease a brand new one, and all EVs then get that. It's because the company that's leasing you the vehicle are then taking, it's the commercial, I think it's called, it's the commercial clean vehicle tax credit, something like that. But they get, it's effectively the same amount of money, but they get to take that and then they should pass it on to you. And I think they do. So it's not anywhere losing out because it doesn't get the federal tax credit. And it really is the Goldilocks vehicle, Robert. It really is. It's just about big enough, I think, you know, for you and your fiance. Occasional road trips, you're not commuting to work every day, but when you do, you'll get there and back easily and charge at home. It's quick without being super fast. It's two-wheel drive. It's very efficient. And it's everything in moderation, but you stack it all together and the Kona continues to be a brilliant vehicle to recommend. Blue Link app is pretty good. Again, it's not best in class, but does it need to be? Your whole email is about head versus heart, and I think I'd recommend this one.
All right. Interesting choice, Kona. Yeah, over Ioniq 5. And that Ioniq 5 deal is hard to beat, though. I gotta.
Absolutely. Almost a three-year-old vehicle now, but that's true. A beautiful car. That's a beautiful car. A very big car.
Right. But the Kona's got its own, you know, it stands out in the crowd. It's got that really thin kind of lighting across the front now. It's kind of, you know, it's, I don't know. It's got its own look, and that may appeal to some people. Not me so much, but some people out there. All right. So I guess that probably brings us to the end of our show.
Sounds right. Good.
I was just looking, do you agree? You want to go on? We could get some more emails.
I was just having a look at the comment stream on the side that sits off to the side of the camera. So I was just having a crafty glance over at the comments saying, does everyone think I'm an idiot for saying that? Or is it
Rick's suggesting a Lucid. Air.
Yeah. It's good value. Look, by the way, this person didn't give us a budget and they want value. A depreciated Lucid is incredible value. You know, because $100,000 is good value if you're buying a 5-bedroom, you know, apartment in Manhattan. So value is a different thing to cost. And, a 1 or 2 year old depreciated Lucid Air is stellar value. So, you know, nice. Fill your boots.
Fill your boots. Right. All right. So if you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, please drop us a line at batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you all again very soon. Ciao.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. is riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Big news! Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end-of-season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.